I don't need the stool. Not yet, anyways. If you would grab your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 2. We're going to go a few places tonight. We'll start in Titus. Titus chapter 2. I don't think we're going to go to any unfamiliar places, but Titus chapter 2. Verse number 11. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Writing to Titus here, right, and he's going to that spot where we all love, right? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are looking for a day when Jesus Christ will finally come. He promises his coming. He talks about his coming. And if he wasn't going to prepare a place for you and doubtless coming again, he wouldn't have told you. But he did. He did tell us those things. He did show us those things. He does expect us. We hope that it's today. We're a constant of hope, hoping that today would be the day we'd hear a trumpet sound. Today we'd hear that come up hither. Today we would leave. Today we would be gone. Today we would be clothed from mortality into immortality. We would go ahead and put on that new robe of righteousness. We would go ahead and do everything, but he hadn't come yet. That doesn't mean he's not coming. It just means he hasn't yet. It's not a doubting moment. It is still, we're looking for a blessed hope. And as we look for that blessed hope, as we do look for those things, as we do wait and await patiently, hopefully, and sometimes impatiently, hurry up, Lord, we look around and we say, you know what, I need to have some things. He tells us, until I come, we need some things that we ought to be doing. There are some things we are to be busy about, some things that the Lord would have us to do while we wait and look and wait patiently for him to show up. While we're waiting and while we're looking and while we're longing and while we're hoping and while we're enduring some things here, we look at him, but we're supposed to be doing a few things here. And we're looking at three of those tonight, and I'm going to try to be done on time. I told Pastor Legault, I said, I know you normally preach on Wednesdays, but I'm stealing this one because I'm going to be gone for too long. So I want one more before I leave, and so here it is. Not that I necessarily had it planned. Look over at Luke chapter 19. While you're turning to Luke chapter 19, I'll pray. Father, we thank you for the night. We thank you once again. Lord, you're an amazing God to us, and you save us, and you keep us, and you, Father, have done everything for us. And Lord, without you, we can't do anything anyways. Father, we're looking for a day when we hear a trumpet sound and we get to go home. But Lord, I do pray you'd help us to stand strong and stand faithful in an evil day until you do come. And Lord, we pray once again you'd bless our night, give us wisdom as we look at the scriptures, and I pray that Jesus Christ would be high and lifted up. We love you. We pray you'd come back soon to take us home. But Father, until then, Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 19, for the sake of time, I won't read the whole passage, but verse number 12, well, verse number 11, they're looking for the kingdom of God. Spiritual kingdom, that's our kingdom, right? Verse number 12, he said, Jesus saying this, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy till I come." And now you know what happens. I'm not going to read the rest. You go all the way down to verse number 27 to get the whole story, right? But he leaves. They don't want this guy to reign over them. And so they rebel and everybody's going against him. And when he comes back, he brings vengeance against those who disobeyed. And then he's got these 10 guys, right? And he asks them. He asks them, hey, where, you know, what do you got? Right? What did you gain me? What happened in this time that I was gone? What did you do? Right? The first thing we find is we need to reside while we're waiting for him to come. Until he comes, you've got to reside. You've got to occupy. You've got to be here. right? We're not going anywhere else, right? I mean, we're here. We're here until he calls us home, whether we die or whether he sounds a trumpet and we get to leave. Either way, we're here. That's kind of where we are. And so while we're here, there's certain things that he's looking at. And right here in this passage, you find that, you know what we're going to have to do? We're just going to have to stay here till he comes. You don't have an option for that. You're here. You're here. So use your time here. He tells us redeeming the time because the days are evil. He wonders, hey, we're supposed to walk circumspectly. We're supposed to consider. We're supposed to think about why we do what we do and how we're doing what we're doing. We're looking around. Well, while I'm here, what should I be doing? Well, I'm supposed to be looking for him to come. Well, when we consider all those things, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Right? We ought to be looking for Jesus Christ to come. And in doing so, we realize, well, I got to stay here till he does come. All right, well, if I'm going to stay here, well, then you know what you ought to do? You ought to serve him till he comes. Amen. You're stuck staying here? Well, he gave you something to do. He gave you a talent. He gave you something. He gave you some sort of a pound. He gave you something so that you could go ahead and do something for him. Amen. He expects you to serve him. Right. Well, I can't do much. He didn't ask you to do much. He didn't ask you to do some great feat. Right. The wonder of Jesus Christ is that after he saves you, he doesn't go, all right, now you're all on your own. I'm never going to help you, right? He doesn't do that. And then he doesn't go, and now you also have to be amazing. Like if you are not winning a million to Christ, you've obviously failed me. You recognize in the passage, these guys don't all do amazing things. And the only one who gets reprimanded is the one who does nothing. Right? Isn't he the only one who has a problem here? The Lord's like, everybody else did something. I'm only unhappy with you because you just did nothing. I left you here to do something, you just did nothing, right? So the idea is not only do I have to stay here, I have to serve while I'm here. Amen. Knowing he's coming, knowing he's going to reward, knowing he's going to do those things, not only should I stay, not only am I going to have to serve until he comes, I also should be supplying until he comes. In Ephesians, he talks about that every joint supplieth to the good of the body. That's the idea. The idea is that you're members of a body. And I heard a great message on being members of one body. And there was a golden tambourine. It was an amazing illustration. If you don't know about it, you can talk to Brother Sutton. I told him I was going to figure out how to work that in tonight. And I got it. Anyways, I better move on. Get myself in more trouble. Right? The idea is that we're supposed to supply some things. God gave you the talent. He gave you the pound in this passage, right? He gives you the pound, but you're supposed to figure out how to make more off of that. You're supposed to figure out how to gain anything for that. You're supposed to figure out how can this pound go ahead and bring somebody else into the fold? How can I get somebody else in the company? How can I get somebody else, right? So we give them the gospel and we witness and we serve and we work and we try to encourage. We try to strengthen. We try to get somebody who isn't in to be in. And serving alongside it. There's all sorts of things you can do to gain some momentum and to gain some influence and to actually add and supply to the work that is going on in the ministry of God. Right. And when you're occupying, when you're residing here on the face of this earth, you are stuck here. You're staying. So you better start serving. Amen. And figure out how to start supplying. Even if you're the only portion that gets supplied. Eventually, as you supply, something else starts getting added on. At least you ought to maybe add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance and to temperance, right? You ought to be adding some things to your life so at least make you better. At least make it so that the pound that you are gets to gain. And stop adding all the physical pounds. Add some spiritual ones. Amen? Look over at Revelation chapter 2. I'm moving really, really fast. Because I got very little time. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. So the first thing we got to do till the Lord comes, the first thing we need to do is we just need to reside. We're stuck here. We ought to do some things. We're here. Don't waste your time on everything else. Right. Find some things to do while you're here. Well, you know, I got to work a job because I got to make money. Of course. Work your job. Make what you need. Pay your bills. Amen. That's not bad. None of that's bad. While you're on the job, maybe you ought to be able to figure out how to use some good time, appropriate time, amen, to go ahead and give somebody the gospel while you're there. Lord, put them in your life while you're there. You know, just saying. You're at the grocery store, you're at the gas station, you're paying your bills, you're buying your groceries, you're doing something. Maybe you ought to just be able to tell somebody else, use a half a second to give somebody a gospel track. Maybe do something. You say, well, I don't know, will that gain anything? Know plenty of people who got saved off of gospel tracks. Well, it doesn't seem like much. Okay, well, we're not much. I'm not much. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. And without him, I can't do anything anyways. So what little we can do, how about we just try something, right? Just occupy till he comes. Just remain. Just sit here. Just reside. And then he says here in Revelation chapter 2, I won't read this whole passage. It gets a little weird in the middle. I don't want to talk about that. Verse 18, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, and so on, he's going to talk about the bad stuff, and the unfaithful there at the church. And then he says in verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, they haven't gone off on this weird stuff, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. Amen. You know what you got to do? You got to retain some things. Right. You got to hold on to some stuff. There's some stuff, right, the Lord gave us. He gave us, number one, right, he gave us that pound. We're supposed to hang on to that, right? At least the one dude didn't lose it. Now, he didn't do anything with it, and he got in trouble for that, but at least he held on to something. We live in a day and age right now where people are, they don't want to hold anything. They don't hold on to a King James Bible. They don't hold on to the right music. They don't hold on to the right doctrine. They don't hold on to the right stand. They don't want to hold forth the gospel. They don't want to do any of that stuff. Or says, hey, until I come, how about you hold on to some stuff? That'd be a pretty good idea. How about this? How about you hold on to your testimony? That's yours, isn't it? He says to hold fast that which ye have already hold fast. All right, well, that testimony of yours, that's yours. You know, there's nobody else that can lose that testimony but you. Say, oh, well, they talked bad about me. Yeah, but your testimony's clean if you didn't do it. Right. And the truth always wins out. Right. You just have to trust that the Lord's got that under control. Amen. Right? So the problem isn't that your testimony's ruined. The problem is that somebody's trying to speak evil of you, and the Lord will take care of that. Amen. You don't have to worry about your good being evil spoken of. He takes care of those things. Plenty of verses on that. You say, what do I have to worry about? That you're doing the wrong thing. How about you hold your testimony? How about you do it right? How about you try to live right? How about you try to keep short accounts with God? How about you try and keep that testimony right where it's supposed to be so that when a world looks at you, they don't have an excuse not to have your Savior? Hold fast. Just hold fast. Retain a testimony that actually pleases Him. Now, we're not saying you won't sin. We understand we're failures, right? We're in a room full of failures. Congratulations, here we are, right? We all mess it up every once in a while, hopefully less than we used to, right? That's the idea. I don't mess up as much as I used to. Praise the Lord, I'm growing, right? As we continue, what do we want? We want a cleaner and cleaner testimony. We want to hold that testimony. We don't want to go backwards and fall short of the testimony we should be holding. You know what else you ought to have? You ought to hold on to the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. You ought to hold on to the truth. You've got a good Bible. You've got the King James Bible, perfect Word of God. Why would you give it up? You better hold on to the truth. A world is looking for truth. They have no idea what the truth is. They can't figure out what the truth is. They think truth is relative, and whoever says it must be right. They go on the internet, and whatever they read, they just automatically assume that must be the truth. They don't understand anything. And then they turn around and they fact check one guy and they won't fact check anybody else. And then I won't get into that. Ooh, don't go there. You say, why? Because nobody cares about the truth. If you want the truth, get the truth. But you don't want the truth. And instead, what do they do? Well, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they turn away from the truth. They don't want it. They go to fables. They go to fairy tales. They go to all the other things. Well, the Christian's not supposed to go there. They're supposed to hold on to the truth. They're supposed to keep those things. Amazingly enough, Mary, everything that she heard about her son Jesus, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. How about that? Why don't you keep the things that you know and hold on to the truth? Don't let anybody take the truth from you. The devil tries to take it all the time. He tries to steal it. He tries to snatch it away. He tries to get you to doubt the truth that God has for you. He wants you to doubt God's word, because if you doubt God's word, you will not stand until he comes. Just how it is. Say, what keeps us standing? What we hold on to. And if none of that's good enough, how about some trophies? How about you hold on to some trophies? Retain the trophies that you've won. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, right? That no man take thy crown, he tells them later. Right? He tells us that, you know, they that do these things, what are they? Well, they don't have an inheritance. You do the wrong things, you give up that testimony, you know what you'll lose? You'll lose the inheritance. You'll lose the trophies. You walk away from the truth, you know what you'll find? You'll find you'll start losing trophies. Boy, hold on to the things done for Jesus Christ. Make sure you don't waste a life because you decide you don't want to do it his way any longer. Hold fast. Hold fast that you've already got. Your testimony, the truth, and the trophies. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Last passage we'll turn to. Certainly won't be the last passage I use, because I quote quite a bit while I'm doing this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You need to, till he comes, you need to reside. Stay, serve, and supply till he comes. You need to retain your testimony, the truth, and the trophies that you've gained. And lastly, you need to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, we know the spot, we read it. Every 3 months we read it. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And I'm going to stop there. You could read the rest of the passage, you know, the rest of the chapter. Ultimately, we need to remember some things till he comes. We're supposed to do this till he comes, right? That's what the church's job is. One of the ordinances of the church is to do this exact thing. And as often as you do it, you're showing the Lord's death. You're remembering what is happening. You're being reminded of some things. And the first thing you're reminded of is the price of salvation. You ought to remember that it costs something for you to have heaven for all of eternity. It costs something for you to have the forgiveness of sins. Say why? That'll keep your testimony. That'll keep you from doing the wrong things. You start thinking about what he suffered. You start reading those verses, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Boy, I don't like that verse. Say why? Because that's me. I'm the one who's wounded him. I'm supposed to be his friend. Right? He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm evidently the friend that stabs him in the back. That's what it feels like. Wounded in the house of my friends. And it wasn't done with the, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's not the same wounds he's talking about. He's looking at us going, no, you keep wounding me. Why? Because you don't remember the price I paid. Every time you fail, every time you mess up, every time you sin, that's me paying the price. That's Jesus Christ, the price that had to be paid. The blood that was shed, the body that is broken is all payment for the sin that you and I suffered. The price of salvation, we weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation, but the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot, without blemish. When we remember that price, we're commanded to remember that price because it will keep us from all the things we shouldn't have. Because it causes us to remember the person of salvation. You ought to remember who saved you. Why? Because it matters that he's the one who saved you. Think about it. what other people get to say that God died for me? Religion dictates I die for my God. God turns around and says, no, I'll die for you. You start remembering that, that'll pick you up, carry you around until he comes. If nothing else, you'll be encouraged by the fact that somebody loved you enough to die for you. And that it was the God that created you that died for you. How about that? What a want. You start thinking about these things. The Lord says, hey, you've got to remember that I paid for you, and you've got to remember who it was that did the paying.
Yeah, amen.
And remember this. Remember the power of salvation till he comes. That this wonderful moment that Jesus Christ, wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, the day he's nailed to a cross and gives his life, it is finished, lays down his life, goes ahead and comes back up 3 days later out of a grave, up from the grave he arose, walks out, triumphant Savior of the world. It's still the same gospel he expects us to go ahead and tell everybody while we're here. He just wants us to tell everybody. You know, the servant, all we're supposed to do is we sit here and we have however much time he decides to give us. You know what we get to do? Tell everybody. When we remember all those things, you know what it'll cause us to do? It will cause us to reside here properly. You start thinking about those things, you know what you'll do? You'll go, boy, he did die for me. And by the way, he died for all of them. He died for the sins of the whole world. So you know what I'll do? While I'm here and I still have time and I still have breath and I still have a moment, you know what I can do? I can tell some other lost sinner that they can have a Savior too. And until he comes, I've got time to do it. But when he comes, I don't have any more time. You know, this is the only time you and I have to serve him the way that we can now. I know in eternity we'll sing praises and there's probably different jobs that we get to do and all those. But here's the time you get to set aside all the things that you have and want and desire and do his will. And until he comes and we're stuck living here, you got a chance. You've got a chance to reside here and serve him and supply and do something for him. You have a chance to hold on, to retain some things, to hold on to that testimony, to hold fast on the truth, to hold fast on what we know to be true so that we can give out, so that we can win something for Christ. And remember what Jesus Christ has done for us and that it can do something for somebody else too. And at the end of the day, we all get to look at the end of the book and the last and final moment. And in Revelation 22 and verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. He's coming. He's coming. But until he gets here, we got some things we ought to take care of. We aren't just sitting around going, well, he's going to come today, so I don't have to do anything. No, he may come today. Let's get busy.
Right.
I must be about my Father's business. Just a little bit longer. I'm praying even so. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's go ahead and have a good night. You are dismissed. I almost got done on time. That's pretty good.